Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. The United States and China have just entered a new, more challenging era of climate relations. John Podesta, who recently became America's top climate diplomat, and his Chinese counterpart, who's also new, started meeting in D.C. this week. There's a lot for them to sort out, like how to reduce emissions, trade conflicts, climate financing, and more. Even though these questions aren't exactly new, it was often smoothed over by the close relationship between former U.S. diplomat John Kerry and his old Chinese counterpart. So today, I chat with Politico's Zach Coleman to understand this new era in climate diplomacy, and more about the officials who are leading it. It's Thursday, May 9th.
Well, it's a more impersonal stage of the relationship between China and U.S. on climate, and the sole reason for that being John Kerry and Xia Zhenhua are no longer the climate leads. They had developed a relationship over the last couple of decades working together on climate, and now, since both have departed government, you have John Podesta and Liu Jianmin, who are both seasoned hands within their governments, but they don't know each other very well. So part of the meetings this week will be getting to know each other and establish that rapport. But Kerry and Xia, in their roles, had been able to keep at least veneer of diplomacy and camaraderie between the two nations, even as broader overall relations hit a kind of low point in the modern era over the last several years. So whether Podesta and Liu can find that same sort of spark and find areas of common ground and agreement is kind of unknown at this point, but at least the meetings this week will start to search for that sort of common ground.
And yeah, what do we know about the level of influence that the new envoy has in China compared to his predecessor, and whether how much that matters?
Look, Liu has been a diplomat within the government for a long time in China. He was the second in command at the Paris climate talks in the Chinese delegation. So it's not like he's unfamiliar with how the government operates, how climate talks go, with climate objectives. I mean, he has been parts of those discussions, but Xia certainly had a lot of influence in his role as well. So again, it's uncertain as things go with covering the Chinese government from afar, how influential any individual is. I mean, in the end, it goes down to Xi Jinping and what he thinks is best to some degree, but there is certainly going to be an effort to figure out exactly how far Liu's influence goes.
And then from the U.S. perspective with Podesta, of course, he has this dual role, has been really focused on implementing the Inflation Reduction Act, now has this international portfolio. So how do you expect that to play out? And what are the, expectations from the Chinese side as well on whether that helps or maybe makes things more challenging?
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, the convergence of trade and climate policy is really here, and you see it with John Podesta being in this role. I mean, a lot of the domestic policies that he is overseeing are the very things that are designed to move U.S. dependence away from China on the clean energy supply chain, and are the types of things that China is now pressuring the U.S. on, filing World Trade Organization complaints, and it's pretty hot right now. So there are areas of common ground where, you get to talking about methane emissions reductions and just overall greenhouse gas emissions reductions and decarbonizing and spreading the renewable energy love, but it's a little bit of tension over economic statecraft and developing these supply chains and manufacturing hubs. I mean, you get into now the two world's biggest economies going head to head with each other over these burgeoning markets in clean energy and electric vehicles and critical minerals refining and all that stuff. Podesta can speak to both sides, the international and the domestic, but he's also the point man on the stuff that China takes a lot of issues with. So how that factors into these talks will be very interesting given John Podesta's unique role on both sides here.
In big picture, I mean, how important is this relationship to global climate politics, meaning the U.S. and China? And how would you characterize where that relationship stands maybe now, as compared to the Trump years?
It's been said before, but you can't solve climate change without the U.S. and China rapidly reducing their emissions. And both countries know that. A lot of the catalytic moments in climate diplomacy in recent years have come from the U.S. and China making statements and agreements together, whether it was the 2014 agreement between Obama and Xi to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. It was the first time that China had agreed that they should do that, and that set up momentum for the Paris Climate Agreement. Then you go back to 2021 when the U.S. and China made a surprise announcement at Glasgow to reduce methane emissions. And then you go to Sunnylands, California in November 23, just before this last COP, where both countries had, again, signed up for more aggressive emissions reductions. So, you know, the rest of the world does look to these two countries to provide some sort of leadership, the U.S. for the developed world and China very often for the developing world. And you really need both of them acting in concert together and very quickly to solve a lot of the biggest challenges in climate.
Also, the Department of Energy is taking a major step toward giving federal regulators new authority to override states when they decide to delay or block construction of new power lines. DOE released a new proposal on Wednesday that designates 10 regions as, quote, national interest electricity corridors that are in urgent need of new transmission lines. These regions are considered critical to President Joe Biden's effort to connect renewable energy to the nation's power grid. But as you know, building new transmission lines has been especially difficult in recent years. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch. And subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline, and they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.